Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Giants is Dave. Good stuff, man.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
There he goes. Dave Fleming, courtesy of River Islands. And by the way, Sports Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Okay, so he's talking about how it can be utilized, the ABS system. I think about how we train, right? And I see a lot of catchers now. Everyone's doing the one leg down, which I understand. You're trying to get that low strike.
Ray Fossey somewhere shaking his head at that.
Well, him and I are in agreement.
Yeah.
Him and I are in agreement. The amount of pass balls with a runner on first, second, or third, specifically second and third, like in scoring position, where you're going one knee down and you're backhanding the ball as opposed to jumping to the side and dropping down your knees. Like it offends me. Like, it legitimately offends me. And I know certain high school coaches and youth coaches who are adamantly against it. I'm somewhere in the middle. If you want to do it with nobody on or a runner at first and you still think you can be able to get up and throw that guy out, prove me wrong. Like, go right ahead. Have at it. I think it's criminal to do it at third base. And the Giants twice or three times this year have done one knee down with a runner on third base and had a pass ball on a backhand. And to me, like, you're going to have pass balls. You're going to have balls go by you. There's a fundamental way to play defense, and I'm all for the evolution of technique. I'm all for it. I just think there's a time and a place, and I do believe there are some things that we've maxed out the technique, meaning it's perfected for a reason. The fundamentals are there for a reason. And blocking with your chest and your knees and sliding over and filling the wickets, that's just a tried-and-true way of blocking balls.
Don't sweat the technique as you're listening to 95% The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. So we're just joined by Dave Fleming. We got another broadcasting legend joining us in about 20 minutes, Mark Abanez, former KTVU Channel 2 sports anchor and a guy that is very tapped in, a Bay Area native on all things Warriors, Giants, Niners. We'll talk about it all with Mark coming up in about 20 minutes.
Let's think about some of the things that people have lost their minds on in the last 3 years. Torpedo bats. Does anyone say a thing about torpedo bats?
That was a thing at like the start of the season, and no one cared about it anymore. Yeah, no one cares anymore.
At all. Okay? Pitch clock.
Don't care.
It's been great.
Yeah.
If anything, it's been great.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Throwing over three times to first base, maximum.
It's been great. I love it.
It's induced some speed that we hadn't seen for a variety of years. I think we all like it. How about the bases getting a little bigger?
I love that.
All right.
More stolen bases. It's been great.
I mean, if you just look at rule changes, sport to sport, the NFL is probably the most flexible when it comes to these things.
They try it, and then if it doesn't work, they get rid of it.
Yeah, the
pass interference, for example.
Exactly.
They try to make that reviewable, and it was just a clown show.
They're willing to pivot. You know, I think baseball being more open to some of these rule changes, they've all been amazing rule changes for the most part, adding the DH to both leagues. Now it's equitable. So if you and I'm an American League team, you're in a National League team, if we're both going after a free agent who's 31 years old, we have the same advantages. We can offer similar years, and we can have that DH as an option for that player in our back pocket. Forever, the JD Martinez types would like, I might as well go to the American League because last couple of years I can be a DH so they can tack on a few extra years.
Right, and I love that they did that. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, this is what made the league special. We have it in major in basketball. We have it in football. It's all the same.
DH exists in every league but the National League until recently.
Correct.
Every league, that's going all the way through from
and that's why I
grammar school through.
Just make it all the same, make it all, and I do like, and I understand where people are upset that they also shifted the divisional games because you play every single team now yearly. I kind of like that though. Like, I think it's cool that the Giants play the Yankees every year. I think that's really cool. That gives it, I know you're a traditionalist.
Well,
I hear you.
It's not that. It's not that. It's just for every Yankees, I get multiple Tampa Bay Rays, and I don't want the Rays.
Yeah, one series against the Rays, that's okay, but one series, Joe. Is one series against the Rays going to kill you? Maybe you see a player that you really like on the Rays that you don't normally see.
I think it sucks that we only saw the Dodgers like 12 times this year, whatever, 13 times this year. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, but I don't hate that I only saw the Rockies 12 times either. So there's that. I hate seeing the Rockies.
I mean,
at all. You're going to see
them
again.
The Giants won 107, you know, they played the Diamondbacks, whatever, 19 times, and
sure,
they benefited from that. So I think it goes both ways.
Absolutely. JC and Saxman hanging on tight. I want to get to JC here before we get to Mark Abanez. JC, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
What's going on, fellas? Man, with these Niners, I'm in a catch-22. I feel like the first thing I want to say is they don't need to go get a pass rusher, right? Let's not go get a pass rusher because you're not one piece away. Do not try to go get a Bradley Chubb because they're not winning, or Kayvon Thibodeau or Hendricks, who's on the other side of 30, because now if you keep him next season, you're going to have so many resources at one position, and you're going to have an injury-prone one and one who's on the other side of 30, right? So do not go get a pass rush. Let the rookies play it out, develop, and see what you got in them. As far as the team, man, it's kind of like I'm in a catch-22 because I'm like, do I want them to lose and get a better draft pick? Because I don't believe the front office believes they're going to win a Super Bowl. Or do you just play to win the game and say, hey, let's make the playoffs and probably lose in the first round? Because their schedule reminds me of like when you watch the cartoons and the little cartoon is walking through the desert and his tongue is hanging out of his mouth because he's so thirsty and he sees this big waterfall. That's a mirage. And I believe the Niners schedule is a complete mirage, right? I don't believe that they are as good as their record might indicate that they are in comparison to those teams that are really vying for a championship. So I think they need to just sit on what they have, play the rookies that they have, because they need a lot of depth. You have to get your left tackle next year, the linebacker depth, other offensive line depth. So they need to just kind of just sit tight, play the rookies, see what you have. Don't waste any more resources because I don't want to kick a man when he's down. But you guys know I called in a couple seasons ago. I was one of the biggest ones that said, do not sign Bosa, trade him. And he's on his third ACL. So now he has knee issues now. And now you want to go get Hendricks, who's on the other side of 30. That's just going to make that situation worse.
Thanks, JC. I appreciate you there. You do that deal 10 times out of 10 for Nick Bosa, though. You do that deal 10 times out of 10. You have to reward players that have balled out for you, that have won DPOYs. You reward that player that you drafted.
If they would have traded Nick Bosa for two firsts and Kenny Clark, we would have lost our minds.
It would have been the same. We would have been doing
right?
the same
would
thing.
We have not?
We would have been the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys as everyone's laughing at them with the Micah Parsons deal.
They're still hearing the backlash from trading away DeForest Buckner.
You don't do those things.
I know.
You don't do it when it's Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons, all those other guys that you drafted in the first round that are homegrown guys. It is just not good business. It's not. Yeah. It's just not. So,
you know, we were referencing before he called, like, all the different, like, baseball rules.
Yeah.
Things like that. And all the changes. And Carter got in my ear, and he was like, actually, there's one rule everyone loses their mind on. And I was like, what's that?
Oh.
And he's like, the Ghost Runner.
Oh, no. It's the best.
And here's what I would say to everyone.
Who loses their mind on that?
Well, no, here's what I say. The Giants have played in not a lot of extra inning games, and they've gone pretty quickly. They've completely run out of pitching. Guys, I don't know if you know this. Major League Baseball has too many teams and not enough Major League pitching. That's a fact in the current game. All right? It's just like how the NFL doesn't have enough offensive
line. I was literally,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so we're asking for something that we don't have enough of.
Yeah.
And if you care about these guys' arms on some level, you have to understand that one 18-inning game can deplete an entire bullpen for weeks on end. You have to end these games. It's a television product, all right? It would be like having a six-hour TV show. No one would watch. So you, the fan, are still going to watch. and it's a way to end it. Also, every kid who's playing in Major League Baseball right now, you know how Drew Gilbert is like, oh, he's all the rage. And I joke to you, I go, well, he's kind of like a definition of tournament baseball that I see at the youth level. U-triple-S-A is a like a type of a league that you play in, different tournaments and formats. Call it U-Trip, okay, for triple S-A. You got Perfect Game. You got all these different tournaments that all these kids play in, travel ball that you hear about. From 9 to 12 years old, it's typically a six-inning game. Most are seven-inning games, 13 through 18U, okay? All of them, all these tournaments, to just have games end. After seven innings, they put a ghost runner on first. Now, Perfect Game goes even more, like after I think eight or nine or whatever, they just go bases loaded.
Yeah.
And they want to get a winner. Now, they don't do it for the playoffs, meaning the semifinal games and the championship games, just like Major League Baseball doesn't do it. Would I maybe suspend it the last 2 weeks of the season? Probably.
Okay? Make some more drama.
Exactly. Yeah. All right? Probably. That being said, how many times have the Giants had the ghost runner and failed to score this year?
Oh, a lot. I mean, oh, for whatever, it feels like. Or fail. The worst thing with the ghost runner, and you get exacerbated, you get tired of it, is you just can't even move it over. You need like a sack bunt, sack fly. You couldn't even move him over. Then it feels like you're already at a loss right there.
I feel like it's injected
I love
some
it.
Strategy at the end it. Of these games. I don't love using my closer in the ninth inning at home because of the ghost runner thing now. There's a lot of things I don't love about it. You want to keep your strikeout, like, because it used to be you use your closer when you're at home in the ninth inning, and because he's not going to be able to pitch and extras if you're down or if you're tied. And my whole thing is like, no, I would wait till I get a high strikeout situation, which is runner on second with no outs. So I don't know. I love it. If you don't appreciate it, I think you'll come around, and I don't think you're watching less baseball because of the ghost runner. In fact, I think it's something that you're being mad about, which is a straw man argument to begin with.
Of all the major leagues, I'll just stick to the top three: baseball, basketball, and football. The league that has improved the most with their viewing experience when it comes to rule changes has easily been Major League Baseball. I will be in agreement with you there. NFL is the NFL. They're the kings. They'll go year by year. You know, right now everyone's freaking out the tush push. They'll put that back on the table. People are going to get upset about that. Like, other than that, like, they tried the defensive pass interference or offensive pass interference review. It's just too difficult. You slow it down. They were afraid to just call it like it is, which is, yeah, it's subjective. And it's going to be a problem to call one way or the other. And if it's too ticky-tack, they weren't going to call it, and they just removed it off the table. That is what I appreciate about the NFL, though. They'll say after a year, if it doesn't work, they'll just remove the band-aid. Nah, it didn't work. We'll own that.
How many innings for a regular baseball team if you just played 9 innings, all 162? Anyone got a guess?
What do you mean? Sorry, what was the question?
How many innings of baseball?
Oh,
in a year.
In a year?
For a team.
Oh, for a team. If my math is not great.
Almost 1,500 innings.
Thank you.
Think about what I just said. 1,500 innings.
It's a lot.
1,458.
Which, if you round up,
almost 1,500 innings.
Just giving you the exact number. I wasn't saying you're wrong.
The point that I'm getting at is that you're crying about something that nobody really cares about. I think you're being ridiculous. And I love baseball. And I'm telling you, every kid who plays at a youth level understands the ghost runner, and they love it. And so, you know, all you old farts who don't, you're getting phased out. Sorry, I am too. Trust me. There's a lot of things I gave up on. I didn't really love, like, the initial idea of three throws over. I'm like, well, guys are going to take huge leads, and they're going to get good jumps. It hasn't really changed that much about baseball.
You think Mark Ibanez loves all these changes?
I don't know.
Well, let's ask him on the other side. Former KTVU Channel 2 sports anchor and Bay Area sports icon, Mark Ibanez, is joining us next. And it's going to be brought to you by... My pages are stuck here. There we go. All right. The California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. A double Dutch, double doors. Mark Abania is joining us here shortly, former KTVU Channel 2 sports anchor and Bay Area sports icon and native. I wonder what's hitting Mark the most. If you asked him right now, what do you think he's going to say? What sports subject here is hitting Mark Abania the most? What do you think he's going to say, Joe? What do you think?
Probably the Niners. He did the Niner, you know, point after for so long.
Not Jonathan Kuminga's qualifying offer? You don't think
that might be it, too.
Not that one? Not Bob Melvin and whether or not he's going to be the manager come Monday?
He also likes to rage out on the Giants, too, though. I know that. I know that personally. I've gotten a few of those phone calls where he was just so out on Farhan.
Was he?
Oh, God.
We have him right now, and he's joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line, former KTVU Channel 2 sports anchor, Bay Area sports icon, Mark Abania, joining the Morning Roast, Joe Spinoni alongside Joe Shasky. And let's ask the man himself, hey, Mark, I asked Joe, what does he think Mark Abania's, you know, number one story going on right now in the Bay? What's hitting you the most, Mark? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's going on? A good cup of morning Joes with you guys.
Because we're both literally drinking coffee. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Joe Shasky, you did an awesome job at the Olympic Club a couple weeks ago for the fight night, man. That was a tough crowd, and Spadoni, you'd be really proud of your man there. He did good under tough circumstances.
Oh, my goodness. That night, I mean, geez Louise. There was a who's who, and you were in the crowd. It was going, that's not what you're thinking about in sports, right? Is it Purdy? Is it Shanahan? Kuminga? Like, what's hitting you this morning? I mean, the Giants got eliminated. I'm pretty ticked.
Bob Melvin?
Right. I'm ticked off. But, you know, it's been kind of a victory hangover with the 49ers. You know, happy they're 3-0. But, you know, it is really a tough mental hurdle to get over the Nick Bosa thing on multiple levels, I think, because it's such a psychological, multi-leveled thing that happens when your best defensive player, arguably, I guess you could say, because Fred Warner, but you know, it's just it hurts the team in multiple ways, just with his leadership, obviously his talents, and then the way the opposition plans to attack the 49er defense, and it just kind of takes the joy out of being 3-0. I'm not saying it can't be overcome. I'm not saying John Lynch and company might surprise us all with some kind of a trade to bring in some extra help on the defensive line to kind of boost morale, but it does take a psychological toll. And you know, I got over the Giants about a week and a half ago. You know, that's tough because Joe, you know, the baseball is my thing, and the Giants are my number one. Niners are close second. But I just think the devastation of the Nick Bosa injury is at the top of my list right now. I've been thinking about it all week. And, you know, not to discount the fact that just for the guy himself, you know, I mean, he loves football. We've all heard the story about him throwing a tantrum on the kitchen floor at his parents' house when he was a little kid, when they wanted him to wait to play football because his older brother Joey was playing. The guy has it in his blood. He loves the game. And I was just sitting there looking at the schedule this morning and thinking, man, that guy's going to miss, you know, another 14 games of his career. I feel bad for the individual, and I know how much he lives, breathes, and sleeps the game, and it's a bummer on all accounts.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I kind of said on Monday, like, just seeing the longevity of Fred Warner to play week in, week out, at the level that he does, I think we kind of take it for granted a little. Like, the game is so crazy violent. These guys put so much of their heart, sweat, blood, and tears into it. And especially if you reach that level, where Nick's at, where Fred's at, where Christian's at, McCaffrey. And, like, when these injuries happen, it's like so random. It's so random that Fred could throw his body around as much as he does, and then two guys just kind of kind of hit Bosa and his leg plants in the wrong way, and boom, he's out. And he's done. And it could change his career. I don't know, man. It's tough. And it makes me appreciate longevity.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is? Just human nature, right? We want to look at the injury situation with the Niners. Just keep them in mind in particular. It's all over the league, but the Niners seem to have had just a really bad spate of injuries. And what's human nature? We want to blame somebody.
Yeah.
We want to blame the training staff. We want to point a finger at Shanahan for running too many dangerous plays or whatever, you know, and you can't really do that. It's just like you said, it's chance, it's bad fortune. And obviously as a 49er fan growing up and all these years of covering them, et cetera, it seems to me like a very unusual span of time the last few years where they have just had catastrophic injuries to the most key players, and I'm sick of it. You know, it takes some of the joy out of the game because you're holding your breath every time McCaffrey, like, he got hit, you know, really hard this past Sunday, and you're thinking, how's he going to get up from that? And he pops right up, but, you know, realistically, how long can that happen with as many touches as he gets? And it's just a devastating thing about football. And then for me, being much older than you guys, seeing what damage these guys sustain over the course of 40 years. You know, I have a lot of friends and acquaintances that played with the 49ers, just say in the 80s, and then you see what these guys go through over the long haul and how it takes its toll as they get into their 50s and 60s. We love the game, but it is a blood sport, and it definitely, it's a hardship in their latter years, and, you know, there's nothing that can be done with it. And all the players, I mean, I once asked Jim Otto, former Raiders center, like, some ungodly amount, 34 surgeries and lost part of his leg and blah, blah, blah. And I said, man, would you do this all over again? He didn't even miss a beat. It's like, absolutely. There's nothing that can replace the adrenaline rush and the feeling of running out of that tunnel and having 55,000 people screaming for you. And, you know, that's living life to its fullest because it's, like I say, it's in their bones, man, and they wouldn't take it back. And we as fans just need to appreciate what they go through and then at the same time hold our breath because the fate of the team depends on their health, obviously.
Talking with Mark Abania is here on the Morning Rose, Bay Area sports broadcasting legend. And Mark, what have you made of the Mac Jones renaissance these last 2 weeks? I mean, do we even put Purdy back out there? Like, if he was limited in practice, we're going to find out today what the mobility is like. But if, you know, if he's still a step slow, do you hold Purdy out this week and just let Mac rip it against his former team, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think either team, either quarterback should be able to beat a team like Jacksonville. And the way I would look at it is if Brock is not 100%, I mean, springy leg, doing anything he can with that toe, then you don't put him out there. But at the same time, I mean, Mac Jones didn't look too agile in the second half of that game. He took a shot. His knee is probably nowhere near 100%. So, you know, I go with the healthiest guy, but isn't it a great thing to have a backup quarterback that you know that can get you the distance, can get you a victory? Obviously, you don't count on him to play a large number of games, but to me, anytime you have a good quarterback in, you know, behind your number one guy, it kind of takes the load off and gives you some hope. I mean, last year when they went up to Green Bay and then they had to go over to Buffalo, did you have one smidgen of hope that they were going to win those games? I can't even remember the guy's name.
Brandon Allen. Like, he stunk.
Yeah. We're done. And, you know, I mean, he's good enough to make it onto an NFL team. But, I mean, you just knew there was no hope. With Mac Jones, there's hope. And wasn't it the talk and the rumor that originally he was the guy that they wanted instead of Trey Lance? You know, so they see something in him. He's obviously got a glimmer of talent. He's a winner, and he's a real upbeat guy, I understand, and the other players like him. And that's all part of being a leader. leader and a quarterback is those subtle things that don't show up on a stat sheet. And Mac Jones has them, as does Brock. So I don't go with Brock on Sunday against the Jaguars unless he's feeling 100%. And I mean 100%.
All right, I want to talk about two of the coaches here. Not Kerr. I want to talk about Shanahan, and then a get to Bob Melvin in a second, okay, because you're on two different planes for me. Shanahan, you know, like I hold Bill Walsh in the highest regard, and I think obviously I was younger, but I love hearing from people who covered him, like yourself. He would show his vulnerability, and when he would lose, you know, I've read all these books on him, he'd literally cry throughout the week. He'd be agonizing over these losses, and then by Friday and Saturday, he'd pick himself up, and he'd come back. He could be ruthless. He could be a perfectionist. He was extremely cerebral, but I love the way he showcased and demonstrated his vulnerability. Shanahan's different. I'm not saying he's as cutthroat and as dry as Belichick, because I think he's more human than that, but he actually reminds me more of Don Nelson. I think he's and I mean that in a good way. He's a tinkerer. He's stubborn, but he's got his philosophies. He might be a little flawed, but he's freaking good. You've seen all these different coaches. How do you view Shanahan?
I see him like this. First of all, the access we as media people had is so much different. I mean, literally, if you can believe this, when I first started, you could kind of walk right up to Bill Walsh and ask him, you know, to do an interview. You could poke your head into his office way back when their center was at in Redwood City. It was much more personable. So I'd be lying to you if I said I knew Shanahan at all. Personally, like what really makes him tick. Obviously, he loves the game, and he's got that pedigree with his dad and the football family and all of that. But I love the way Bill Walsh would wear his heart on his sleeve. He would let you sense what he was really feeling, and he did a lot of things progressively in the game of football. He got rid of hazing with the 49ers. He was a real softy in a lot of those things. Like, he understood the plight of a rookie, and he was obviously strategically ahead of his time in so many ways. And Shanahan, I think, is, in my mind, what I'm seeing just from a peripheral right now, is that he's starting to get a little bit jaded. He's getting shorter with the media. He has kind of a blasé-like attitude that comes across to me as, like, you guys don't really know the game. You don't know what's going on inside. And I'm not going to give you any more insight. Like, the way he reads off the injury list and the way he responds to questions is borderline getting to be. He wasn't that way his first few years, but I feel like he's getting to be almost disrespectful to the media and not understanding their jobs. Like, you know, the way he, you know, talks about Brock's toe when that happened a few weeks ago. He's like, yeah, it's a toe. Yeah, that's what, you know, he's just getting short. He's getting tired. But what these guys need to understand is, sorry if it bores you. Sorry if you don't think we know the game. But part of your job is dealing with the media, keeping us informed, which in turn, we keep the fans informed and engaged. And hello, that promotes the sport that is making you a multimillionaire. And it bothers me when they shrug off and kind of talk down to the media. I think it's condescending. And I think he's starting to show a little more of that. Remember when he came to the 49ers, he had a reputation as being a little bit curt, a little bit full of himself. And he didn't show that the first few years. And I think it's starting to come out. That's my opinion. Doesn't take away from the fact that he's a brilliant X's and O's guy. And I always say, man, if you don't like your coach, tell me who the next guy is you're going to replace him with. And, you know, let's fire the manager. Let's get rid of the coach. But hello, who out there right now would you rather have than Shanahan? Tell me.
Not a lot. No. That's for sure. No, seriously, it's probably like, it might be the only other guy in his division. It might be Sean McVay because the guy's won the Super Bowl. But again, they go about it a little bit differently. And it's funny you say that, Mark, because it's got me thinking, like, the greatest coach of this century, maybe of all time, is Bill Belichick in football, right? The head coach, he's won six Super Bowls. he wasn't what he ended up being. He ended up, well, he didn't end up being what he was. Like, early on, he was fine. He was a normal guy talking to the media, right? It wasn't until he started winning all those Super Bowls, you know, the hoodie came out, you know, he just mumbled around to Cincinnati. Like, it didn't start becoming that. Same with Greg Popovich. I don't think Popovich was like that early on, right?
No. Absolutely. I mean, Greg Popovich to me, I mean, do you guys remember when he went on this tirade against Zaza? When he accidentally sprained Kawhi Leonard's ankle by jumping out, and he called it tantamount to manslaughter. He said, "You don't, manslaughter's doing something accidentally. I don't care if Zaza, you know, did it accidentally. He still did it. What does intent have to do with it?" It's like, well, it's got a lot to do with it, Popovich. And remember, I used to be so condescending to Doris in those sideline interviews and all of that. Well, he wasn't like that at the beginning. And oh, by the way, what happened to the San Antonio dynasty when David Robinson and Tim Duncan retires? You know, they haven't been relevant in the NBA in quite a long time. I mean, Kawhi kept them close, but you know, you're only as good as a lot of your players, but at the same time, you can have a bad coach, a mediocre coach who's got a load of talent and he doesn't know what to do with it. So kudos to those guys to bring the talent together and bring championships, deliver championships. But at the same time, you got to have the horses as well. And I'm sorry to see these guys get jaded and they start reading their own headlines and they get a little full of themselves. And I've seen it happen so many times over the years. And by the way, Bill Walsh was not one of those guys. He was always cool, even after the Super Bowl triumph.
I feel like Bochy came off the same way with the Giants. I think a lot of people really respected him. You know, I'm watching Bob Melvin, and I just, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Last night,
I want to hear it, Joe.
No, like last night, it drove me nuts, Mark. Last night, I'm like, look, I've been waiting. When you have Steph Curry, the tolerance for young players making mistakes, I get it. It's going to be very minimal. We're trying to win a championship with Steph Curry. When you got Joe Montana or Steve Young, like, we are in championship mode. The Giants have been to the playoffs one time since 2017 started, okay? One time, all right? And so last night, yeah, mathematically, they're still alive. They've been dead for weeks, if not months. They faked us out 10 different times. And you bring up Bryce Eldridge, who is your prized possession, 20-year-old player, who I think that they think is going to be a very important figure for the team for a decade to come. And he gets his three at-bats yesterday, and it's the ninth inning. And Willy Adames gets a base hit. He's standing at second base. There's two outs after Chapman strikes out. Two outs, and they pinch hit Wilmer Flores, who's a good guy. But Wilmer is not on this team next year. And they pinch hit for their 20-year-old last night. And I'm saying, guys, like, if this is a playoff team, I get it. You pinch hit for Wilmer. Why are we taking the bat out of a 20-year-old's hands? And I kept thinking about what Roger Craig would do, what Bob Melvin would, what Bob Melvin did versus what maybe Bochy would have done. My jaw dropped, and there's no rage this morning. And I'm like, guys, why are we pinch hitting for the 20-year-old here? Let's see him have a moment here. I know he started slow. This team's going nowhere. Am I wrong?
Well, first, let me give you full credit because you hung in there and watched the rest of the game. I'm going to give you full accountability on my part. After the Cardinals rallied from 8-3 down, that's my thing now in retirement. I'm good. But when it starts annoying me and I'm at a zero frustration tolerance level. And I didn't even know that happened. You're the one filling me in on it. I just saw on my phone that Flores struck out and ended. But I didn't know the consequence and all that because I was already too ticked off before that happened. But, yeah. Give the kid a taste of what it feels like to be up there in the ninth inning. And even if he fails, you know, it still gives him that chance to be a hero. And let's say the kid drills a two-run homer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, then you got a completely different story. You've uplifted him. You've given him confidence. And, you know, they always say in baseball that your team kind of takes on the personality of your manager. And I think that's been kind of evident with Bob Melvin. The Giants just seem to be, you know, a little laid back. And if some good stuff happens to happen, then they're psyched up. But on a day-to-day basis, they don't bring that full tilt energy that you're seeing from a lot of teams. And, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and say this. When the Giants had an opportunity and they interviewed him to hire Stephen Vogt, I think that is where things went wrong. And Stephen Vogt had experience with the Giants, experience with the Bay Area. He was new and fresh. The players relate to a guy who has played the game in their recent memory. They know the guy. Many of them would have played against him and with him. And they lost an opportunity to bring some fresh blood.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the organization. Stephen Vogt, look what he's doing with the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, they have come for, it's going to be possibly the biggest comeback in a divisional race in the history of baseball. They were like, what, 15 out in July? And there had to be something he had done in a leadership role with that team that made them believe that they could come out of the dungeon and make this bid. And they took over the Tigers last night for first place. Steve Vogt would have been the perfect hire. Bob Melvin is a good manager. He's had a good run. But let me know, well, how many World Series has he won? I forget.
Zero.
You know, so Stephen Vogt would have been the guy, but, you know, we'll see. It looks like to me they're not going to make a managerial change in the off season, but we'll see.
Hey, Mark, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning.
You're the best, buddy.
We got to do it again more as the season goes on. And we got Warriors Media Day on Monday. At some point, we'll get into the Jonathan Kuminga saga crisis, we called it.
Oh, my God.
We don't even know. But, Mark, great stuff this morning.
Can you be his agent? Do you want to be Kuminga's agent? I don't know. Like, I feel like we're taking auditions.
Well, hey, and we were talking about Coach. Let me just say, Coach Steve Kerr is one of those guys who never did change and get arrogant with all the success.
True.
He's the same guy he was when he got here, and Warrior fans should never take for granted how cool that guy's been and how good and consistent he's been, and total respect for Steve Kerr on all levels. So he's not a guy who changed with success, and I tip of the cap to that.
And same with Mark Abani, as a guy that never changed with success. We appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
See you soon, dude.
Mark Abanez, who joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, Bay Area sports broadcasting icon, the pride of Marin, Joe. He's got a lot of stuff there.
I think he's in Napa these days.
Now, but he's, I think, born and raised in Marin County, if I'm not mistaken. But he's in Napa. Well, I mean, he's in Carter's neck of the woods then. Nice. The winery. Sweet.
Carter owns the winery.
He owns Napa?
Yeah, Mark might be leasing the land currently.
Who was that laugh? What was that? Is that Mac Jones?
You know what? Ever seen the movie There Will Be Blood?
Awesome. Yeah. I drink a milkshake.
So everybody, you just took.
Oh, sorry. I just stole it. I drink your milkshake.
Drink it up! A big straw.
It's so good. Well, I just watched...
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
Paul Dano plays the great antagonist in that movie.
Absolutely.
Eli, right?
And then he gets... Well, he plays two characters, technically.
The twin, because they're twins.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And he just played the Riddler in the newest Batman movie with Robert Pattinson. I thought he was a really good Riddler.
He's definitely a good, bizarre character.
Very bizarre. Well, I go back to when he's the nerd in The Girl Next Door. That's way back when, like early 2000s.
The Girl Next Door?
Alicia Cuthbert was like the love interest in that one. Oh, yeah. We're going way back. Oh, yeah.
So you're a big rom-com guy?
This is like your era. It's like 01.
It's not my era. Yeah. What?
When you were like...
Hey, guys. We're, just out of high school. Let's go to a rom-com.
No. You loved... No, because it was like an American Pie.
You didn't go to a rom-com with the homies?
American Pie back in the
American
day?
American Pie was hilarious.
Exactly. It was that
not
sort of
thing. Not a rom-com.
No.
Or just a comedy.
I don't think The Girl Next Door was a rom-com.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
No,
I don't know.
It sounded like... you got to go through the whole thing, but I believe she was a adult film actress that moves next door to a 18-year-old high schooler.
Really?
Yeah. I already sold
it.
Sold it to you. Go
find
it.
What is going on here?
Bobby Los Altos is familiar with that movie, aren't you, Bobby? Good morning.
I didn't see it, but I think she was a daughter in 24. Memory serves.
There you go. She was also in Old School with Mitchapalooza, Luke Wilson's character. There you go.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll talk to you later. So, hey, all right. So, first, I got one quick guru gripe. I'm really mad at the Giants for two reasons. When they were playing the Saints, that morning when I woke up, the only thing I was thinking about was, is Jung-Hoo Lee going to be in the lineup? I was thinking about the Giants more than the Niners, 10 days ago. And then, so they made me care, and then they stunk, they pooped the bed. And then the Giants had, a 0.1% of maybe making the playoffs, and they feel like they have to try to win the game last night instead of giving, Eldridge a shot. That's ridiculous. But anyway, what I want to talk about, or what I guess no news is good news, I don't care about Brock's toe. I want to know what's going on with Mac Jones' PCL. Why is no one talking about this? Is it because it's not an issue? Because I'm not concerned if Brock can't play, but I'm really concerned if Mac can't play. So what's going on with that? Why aren't we more scared about this?
I'll tell you, Bobby, because if you were listening yesterday, I appreciate the call. Dr. Nirav Pandya, UCSF Health, joined us, and he's actually not that concerned about it. So if the doctor's not that concerned about the PCL, because it's not as severe or as important as the MCL or the ACL, obviously, which Nick Bosa did tear and is out for the season. It's not along those lines. It's more of a pain tolerance thing, I guess. And right now, it doesn't sound like it's too concerning on the Mac Jones front. At least that's what I got from Dr. Nirav Pandya, who, again, joined us yesterday to talk about all the injuries, the Bosa angle, the Purdy angle, and obviously Mac Jones. So not too concerning, bro. So if you look like you're in-depth searching.
No, I'm just thinking about Mark Abanez and his discussion about Kyle Shanahan.
He's a little surly, a little grumpy towards the media. He doesn't like that. I mean,
I agree with him.
Well, what do you want the guy to say? Like, seriously, what do we want Kyle Shanahan to say?
I also think, look, at the end of the day, winning is how he's going to be judged, and that's the reality. But we'd be lying to ourselves if we wouldn't say that handling of the media as a front-facing individual who's running the organization is an element of his job.
Do you think he's not done a good job there? I think he has. He's a little funny. He's a little quirky sometimes. He's a red ass, but he's his father's son. Like, Mike Shanahan was kind of like this. He's a little bit like that. Like, this is a guy that grew up in the NFL.
I think it goes both ways, right? I think at times the media asks pretty silly questions that are kind of, it's part of the job. And then there are times that I believe Kyle is a little curt. But I also understand all of it. Like, I understand everyone's point of view. But I do believe, he sees the whole media angle as just this thing that he has to get through. And if he just leaned in a little, it would just make the whole thing easier for himself.
Well, and I think he referenced Steve Kerr, a guy that does it right. The thing with Steve Kerr, he was a part of the media. So there is a different angle in that. Like, he was the player first, and then he became, the GM, and then it was the media, but he was doing play-by-play or color on TNT alongside Marv Albert. Like, he did all of it. So, there is an element of this guy knows how to speak to the media. Sean Payton's similar. Like, Sean Payton's a guy that could be surly at times, but he's also could, like, He gives his time to a lot of different people, I've noticed, throughout a season, like throughout the year. He'll go on a bunch of different podcasts and talk and talk.
I didn't say it was wrong.
No. I'm not saying you're saying that. But I brought up to Mark the guys like Belichick and Popovich, who I think we will all agree, two of the best, if not the best, in their given sport. They did it in a way where they came across as just, I'm going to put you down. It's my way or the highway. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm going to ruin all these interviews. I'm going to we're on to Cincinnati. And we're just going to do it my way. And I don't care how you think about it. Those are what Kyle Shanahan and coaches his age kind of grew up watching. So in their eyes, hey, that's the right way to do it. I'm just going to go do it that way. You got what I'm saying?
I don't even know if it's that deep. I just think it's kind of who he is. I think it's personality.
Maybe, but
I think he can be. I think he's a grumpy guy at times. I think he's obsessive.
I think Belichick sent the template and Popovich as well, saying, "I don't give a damn about the media, and I'm not giving you anything. I'm not giving you any bulletin board material, and we're going to leave it at that." Fast Five, right? We're going to leave it at that too. Cool.
Time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know, Joe, someone got fired yesterday in the sport of football that dropped a legendary video 18 years ago. It was actually a legendary rant. You know what I'm talking about? Mike Gundy, now former Oklahoma State football head coach.
Did Darren Waller drop a rap video 18 years ago?
Is he even going to play anymore?
Well, that's what I thought you were going.
Well, he was the head coach the last 20 years at Oklahoma State for their football program. Mike Gundy was let go, a.k.a. fired, yesterday. And it was actually the day after the 18-year anniversary of this famous rant.
That child. I do. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game, or says he's fat, and he comes home crying to his mom, fat, you'd understand. But you didn't have that. But someday you will. And when your child comes home, you'll understand. If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
And he is now 58 years old. Does that make you feel a little bit older?
Does he still have the business in the front, party in the back mullet?
Oh, yeah. It's all time, too. It's a great look. I mean, if you're in Oklahoma, it's a great look. I don't know here in the Bay if we're rocking that these days. But Mike Gundy, so long. Gone.
Logan Webb was rocking the mullet this year for a bit.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
So
when I turned 40, we all...
Jake Moody had a mullet?
There you go. One.
He had a moment.
Did it miss to the left and the right? I'm just asking.
Just right down the middle.
We cut it, so now it's a little short.
What's the... What was the best part of that rant? Was it the... I think the when he says fat the way he does, that's easily the funniest
the
part.
The number of drops that rant created.
Where are we at in society today? It's just the draw to everything. Mike Gundy. It's actually kind of making me feel a little bit old now, too. 58 years old.
How many... I'm going to ask it sincerely. How many entire Mike Gundy games in the 21 years that he's been there did you watch?
Oh, I watched that Brandon Whedon season a lot. They were really good.
Brandon Whedon season.
No, they were like they
Justin
were,
Blackman.
They were legitimately who'd they lose to?
Dude, I got drunk. Wasn't
it Ohio State? They fell to at the end of that 2011 season.
They, if they won out, they were going to be in the championship game.
They would have got bodied by LSU.
Probably because their defense was cheeks, but that offense was so good. Brandon Whedon ended up being a first round pick because of it.
He was 500 years old.
He's 28. What? I thought he was going to be good.
Might as well
too.
Be 500 years old.
Thought he was going to be good?
Yeah,
Brandon Whedon?
Dude, that offense was sick. I was also in high school when it was happening, so give me some.
Oh, so you're there. Yeah, I see. Chris Winkie online too.
Okay. Well,
he was like a 30-year-old Florida State.
Brandon Whedon was also like a first-round pick for the Yankees, wasn't he, or something like that? Or he's a top pick.
Flamed out.
Yeah, that's why. Success story right there, Brandon Whedon, who's also 41 years old. There you go.
He's a man. He's 40.
He is. He is. He had a cup of coffee in the league. What? 2012 to 2013 with the Cleveland Browns. Cowboys, Texans, Titans, then back to the Texans for a little bit.
There's a guy who does TikTok videos that I found, and he's like, he pretends to be the front office. He's like, this is the Browns front office for the last 20 years. Yeah. We're taking Tim Couch. We think he's going to be good. Actually, Kelly Holcomb's the guy.
The funniest part is the Browns like got their quarterback, won a huge game against a division rival in the playoffs, almost beat the Chiefs, and then said, nah, we're going to get Massage Watson instead. Kick rocks, Baker. Yeah, the Browns. Never stop being the Browns. Big win, though, last week. What do you got, Joey?
Well, Madden, I took over the Browns, right? And I had
to
trade
that's your
bunch
team
of people.
Now. You're out on the Niners. Yeah.
They won't let you just flat-out release Deshaun Watson.
Too much of a cap hit?
No, it's just for whatever reason, it's like locked because he's hurt. So you can't release him. So I threw
him on. Not even the video games let you do it.
I swear to God. So I had to throw him on IR, wait till the year's over, and then there's like the re-sign period, and then I cut him. I was getting nothing for him. And like the cap hit was just huge on a trade.
Well, apparently, and this is actually something I want to talk to you as you're talking about like players being hurt, there isn't a specific injury clause for Nick Bosa that is public, but the Niners have a player insurance policy that will provide them nearly $7 million in salary cap relief due to that season-ending ACL tear, Joe. So they do have some relief there if they want to go get someone. That was it.
Insurance is one of the biggest scams. And anytime you need it, it's never enough. You pay it out all the time. It takes forever to get it. And then you have to fight them, you know, tooth, claw, nail, and you get a fraction of what something's worth. Insurance is the biggest scam. You got to have it, though.
You know, it's not a scam. It's Xfinity, because that's what Fast Five has brought to you by. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. Steiny and Guru coming up next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Absolutely incredible.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.